Now that is a good song. Praise the Lord. What a blessing. As the ensemble was singing, I was thinking about Brother Dale Stewart and the Reaching Judea ministry that he and several men have decided they're going to reach the county and knock on every door. And how far are you in the southeast corner of the county now? East to west, and how far north from the very south boundary, from the Ohio line? Horton Street, all right, and then all the way to almost Morenci, and have seen people saved out there in the country. And that's tough door-to-door there. You don't park your car and walk, you drive. You drive from house to house. And one of the most exciting things, and I won't mention a name or anything or a church, but they were knocking on doors in one area, and they knocked on a pastor's door and told him what they were doing. And Dale was very quick to say, you know, we're not trying to steal your people or anything like that. It wasn't yours, brother. Don't worry. It wasn't Brother Johnson. And he's here tonight to repent. No. But anyway, this pastor was so encouraged by Dale. He ended up joining them, correct? Soul winning. Okay, he didn't go then, but he called you and told you that he was blessed so much by them. He didn't have anybody to go with him, but he decided, bless you, he decided he's going to start going out soul winning. And so that was a blessing, and that's encouraging, and praise the Lord for that. Go ye, that's good. Luke 4, Luke chapter 4, verse 16. What a blessing. I'll tell you, it's been good tonight and been a good day, and praise the Lord for that. And I'm glad that you're here. Last week we talked about the harvest, talked about soul winning. And then now tonight we're going to talk about some things very similar, but not quite the same thing. But some things would be a challenge to you. Luke 4 and verse 16. And of course, with Missions Conference coming next week, we do kind of gear things toward that and toward reaching the lost. And certainly a world that is lost, it is our duty to do all that we can to reach this lost and dying world. Luke 4 and verse 16, it says, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the, isn't that good? As his custom was, he went to church. Now you want to know what Jesus did. Everywhere he went to church, amen. As his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. That means if it was vacation, he went to church, amen. That means if he was out of town, he went to church. That means if he was away on business, he still made sure he went to church. You know, folks, you go on vacation, you say, well, we're on vacation. You ought to be in church. Right. Amen. I just thought I'd throw it in. It doesn't cost you a thing there. But anyway, and he stood up for to read, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. He knew how to find it too. Amen. Isn't that good? Now, I don't think he had to look through the table of contents like many of you do, but he found it. Amen. He found the place. And here's what was written. He says, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. I want to talk to you about the acceptable year of the Lord. Father, I pray that you'll bless the preaching tonight. Thank you for the good music. Thank you for a good spirit. Lord, it's just been good to be with your people today. And I pray that you'll bless us now as we draw an end to the day. Lord, may we be attentive to what you have for us. I pray your Holy Spirit will guide us into the truth. And Lord, that we'll make any decisions we need to make. We need to be different, God. And I pray we would because of tonight. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. What scripture? To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. It says, and you'll notice again, verse 16, his custom, of course, was to go into the Sabbath, into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he went to church. Verse 17, he goes to the book of Isaiah, and he found the scripture that he wanted to read, and he read from Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3, and as he's reading, he read of a prophecy of the coming Messiah, and he is the Messiah. Isn't that something? And so he read Isaiah 61, 1 to 3, and in verse 21, he says, and he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture, pointing to Isaiah, just telling them this scripture that I just read, Isaiah 61, this scripture, today, this scripture is fulfilled right now in your ears. You see it taking place. It is fulfilled. Why? Because he is the Messiah. It was prophecy that the Messiah was coming. He is the Messiah. And so today, he says, right now, this scripture is fulfilled. By the way, notice what he says here, and this is real good. In verse 18, when you run, again, you run into every now and then people don't believe in the Trinity, don't understand it, so they just say it can't be. But you'll notice here, you have the Spirit of the Lord, there's the Holy Spirit. You have the Spirit, then you have of the Lord, there's the Father, and then you have is upon me. You have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all in verse 18, right there at the beginning. And you know, he could say that because he is God. He is the Messiah, and he is the Savior. But that isn't what I want to preach about. But he talks about here, verse 19, the acceptable year of the Lord. And this acceptable year of the Lord is an allusion to the Old Testament year of Jubilee. You say, well, I don't, you know, what's that mean? Well, I'm going to tell you here, and it's good. It was a year of Jubilee. It was a time when the unacceptable became accepted. Now, stay with me, all right? You got to kind of stay with me on purpose here, or you're going to lose everything, all right? The unacceptable became accepted. Man, when I read that, when I study that in the Old Testament, I get pretty excited because Jesus said, hey, right now, this time is fulfilled. In me, it's fulfilled. What's he saying? He's saying, because of me, the unaccepted is accepted. Boy, that's good stuff. You know why? Because as we learned this morning, we're unacceptable. Our righteousness can't be accepted. Our righteousness falls short. Our righteousness is not perfect. Our righteousness is filthy. But because of his righteousness, the unaccepted becomes accepted. And so he says very, very clearly, he says, this is the acceptable year of the Lord. And Jesus is ushering in this Jubilee, a time of acceptance. And he is making it all possible. Boy, that is a tremendous statement that he makes here. That is an amazing thing. Look at Ephesians 1, verse 5. Just some verses to kind of back that up a little bit. Ephesians 1 and verse 5. Tremendous passage of Scripture here. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And we're accepted. And so the unacceptable becomes accepted. Jubilee! It's a time, it's a year of Jubilee. He says, this day, now, he says, it's fulfilled in your ears. You not only have to can read about it in the Old Testament, but I'm the fulfillment of it. Amen. Look at 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. And a familiar verse, one that we've used often, and yet it ties right in with what we're talking about. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And certainly this is a day when people can be saved. Jesus is saying, hey, this is a time. I have come so that there could be a time where the unacceptable can be accepted, where debts can be forgiven, where people can be freed, where lives can be changed. He said, I'm bringing in that time. It's the year. It's the acceptable year of the Lord. It's the year of Jubilee. And the acceptance is based on Jesus dying on the cross. That's how we're accepted. That's how we can go to heaven. That's how we're accepted. That's how we can come boldly, the Bible says, to the throne of grace. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only way there can be acceptance. It's not our righteousness. It's not our works. It's only through Jesus. And so very clearly, Jesus is alluding to the Old Testament year of Jubilee. And he's saying this. He's saying, this is the time. I am the fulfillment of that day. I am the fulfillment of this Old Testament prophecy. I am the fulfillment. I make it possible for you to be accepted when you are unacceptable. And so this acceptable year, he says, is the year that it is the time when I have come. I will live a perfect life. I will die on the cross. I will pay for your sins so you can be accepted in the Beloved. And what a wonderful thing that is. But I'm saying to you folks, the truth of the matter is, that didn't end there. It just started there. It's still the acceptable year of the Lord. I'm telling you, this is a day that the unacceptable can be accepted. I was 17 years old and I became accepted. How old were you? Amen. How old were you? Maybe you just got accepted because you trusted Jesus as Savior. Maybe it's been 5 years since you were accepted. But I'm telling you, it is still the acceptable year of the Lord. It is still the acceptable time of the Lord. It's time for people to get saved. Amen. It's time for folks in Africa to get saved. It's time for folks in Mexico to get saved. It's time for folks in Turkey to get saved. It's time for folks in Ghana to get saved and in the Philippines to get saved. And all across our world, it's time for people to get saved. Amen. It's the acceptable time. That's what he's saying. He's saying, hey, the acceptable year of the Lord, it's fulfilled. This is it. I'm the Messiah, he says, and I make it possible for that which is unacceptable to be accepted. Now, I have three things I want to show you. First of all, in reference to this Jubilee and this year of Jubilee, first of all, it's a time of release. A time of release. In the Old Testament Jubilee, you go back and you study that, and we'll look back at a couple of verses here, but it was a time of release. That which was unacceptable became accepted, and it was a release of slaves. It was a release of debts. Boy, wouldn't that be something? Amen. Oh, hallelujah, glory to God, amen. Wouldn't that be something? Huh? That's what it was. A release of debts. It was a release of property that had been held. I'm talking everything's forgiven. Are you starting to see a little bit of what I'm talking about? Jesus said, this is the acceptable year of the Lord. Hey, isn't that what Jesus does when he saves us? I mean, literally, he doesn't need to. We were slaves and we're free. We had a debt and he paid it. Amen. He gives us all kinds of things and property and heaven and eternal life. Amen. You know, it's a time of release. Our debt is paid by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, look at Leviticus 25, verse 8. Leviticus 25 and verse 8. You say, preacher, you're going so fast. If you saw my notes, you'd go fast too. Leviticus 25 and verse 8. The Bible says, and thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years. And the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. Watch this. In the day of atonement. In the day of atonement shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. When was it? The day of atonement. And you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you. Ye shall return every man unto his possession. Ye shall return every man unto his family. And again, you'll notice it starts on the day of atonement. What's Jesus talking about? He says, this is the year. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. This is the day when the unacceptable becomes accepted. This is the day when the release of a debt that you could not pay is provided. And it starts on the day of atonement. And isn't it something? He's our atonement. He is the atonement. His blood is the covering for our sins. Glory to God. And whatever was owed is released. And that's what happens when you get saved. I ask you a question on point number one. Are you saved? Have you been released of your debt? Has there been a time when you came to Jesus and said, I've got this huge debt and I can't pay it? I've got this huge debt and I'm told that for me to pay this debt, I've got to go to hell forever. For me to pay this debt, I've got to burn in the lake of fire. I've got to burn forever in hell for me to pay this debt. I'm going to be in hell forever. I'm going to be separated from God. And I don't want to pay this debt, God. Would you pay it for me? That's what I did at the age of 17. Oh, let me tell you something. It's a time of release. A time of release. And that's exactly what took place on this day, this year of Jubilee. Number two, it's a time of restoration. And this is what I really want to key on tonight. A time of restoration. Number one, it's a time of release. I think that's talking about salvation. But number two, it's a time of restoration. Restoration. Back to Leviticus 25 and verse 10. We already looked at it. Leviticus 25 and verse 10. Talking again about the year of Jubilee. Leviticus 25:10, and ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. Notice the restoration that's taking place. This acceptable year of the Lord, it is a time of release. He releases us from our obligation. He came and He died on a cross and He released me from the debt of hell. He released me from the obligation that I had to pay and the debt that I owed because of my sin. He released me from that by saving me. But it's also a time of restoration. Time to restore people. And can you imagine at this time, people are all free that were not free before. Isn't that, remember when you were excited about your salvation? Remember when you were thrilled about how God had forgiven you of your sins and you knew it? Remember how that weight of guilt was lifted when you called upon Jesus to save you? Remember that? And again, here we have not only that release, but we have a restoration. Now it's time to get you doing something for God. Now it's time to put you in your rightful place. Oh, you thought being a drug addict, you thought that was your rightful place then. But now you know that wasn't your rightful place. You thought being a drunkard, that was pretty much all you were going to do. But you know now that wasn't right. You thought being involved in immorality, that was all you were ever going to do in your life. But now you know God's got something better than that. I mean, you thought being a pauper was your future. But God says, no, He says, I want to make you a prince. Amen. It's a restoration time. It's a time of restoring people. It's a time of restoring lives. It's a time of restoring futures and dreams. It's a time of restoration. And so it only makes sense that God would list a group of folks, as He does in verse 18 and also in Isaiah. And He talks about the restoration. And in verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me. And to do what? To do these things, because this year of the Jubilee is a time of people getting saved. It's a time, though, of people being restored. It's a time of lives being cleaned up. It's a time of messes being cleared up. It's a time of restoration. And so He comes and He says, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Number one, or not number one, but capital A, to preach to the poor. The gospel, good news at no charge. Do you understand that when we take the gospel to the poor, we're taking it to people who, in many cases, they have nothing else. They don't have anything. That's why they listen. That's why, really, your best soul winning will be to poor people. Look at Matthew 11, verse 4. By the way, another thing about the poor, the Bible says we'll always have them among us. Matthew 11, verse 4. I think it was Apacius telling me about a church that has, they advertise, what was that group of people? The young professionals. Finally, a church for young professionals. That's how I feel about that. Let me tell you something. This is a church for everybody. This is for the rich and the poor. This is for, we don't have any rich people, I don't think. Well, our staff, they're pretty close. But, But he said, preach the gospel to the poor. Why? Because there's a group that not only needs release, they also need restored. Matthew 11, verse 4. Boy, this is good. The Bible says, Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor had the gospel preached to them. Isn't that good? Doesn't say the rich people. It says the poor people have the gospel preached to them. And, I got to thinking about different churches. One church is having a kind of a celebration thing and an anniversary sort of thing. And I wonder if they're still doing what they did when they started. They're not. But anyway, I got to thinking, they seem to have a lot of money. And there's a lot of wealthy church, but then you look and they don't have any buses. What's our bus ministry budget? About $30,000 a year, bus ministry. That doesn't include unique things that Kelvin costs us all the time. But again, $30,000 a year. A Christian school, they don't have a Christian school, costs us a huge amount of money every year. And all the different outreaches to poor people. But you know what? This is what we're supposed to do. That's who we're supposed to reach. Preach the gospel to the poor. Somebody says, preacher, we need to get some rich people in here. You know, I found that what you do is you go get some poor people and you tell them the gospel, God will bring rich people in. Or God may make you rich if he trusts you. Let's move on. So, we're supposed to preach the gospel to the poor. Not just so they can be saved, but so they can be restored. Hey, do you know that God can help them not to be poor anymore? Do you know that just good old-fashioned Bible teaching and Bible preaching and an altar call where you come get right with God, it'd help a lot of poor people. Just character would help a lot of poor people. We know what that is. Y'all aren't with me tonight, are you? I'm starting to feel alone. Maybe I need a quilt up here. I'm not sure. Let me tell you something. We're to reach them with the gospel. Good news. Good news. You know, in the Old Testament, the handfuls of purpose. The Bible says that whenever there was a harvest, and I've just been reading through all this just recently, they were those that were out getting the harvest. They were to kind of leave whatever they left behind, whatever they didn't get. They weren't to go back and get it. They were to leave that for the poor people. But guess what? The poor still had to get it. See, already they were learning how to work. We get calls all the time. I mean, daily. We get calls. Could you help us with this? Could you help us with that? Could you help us with it? I mean, our church, Berean, we're at the top of the list. Amen? And we get calls all the time. And most of the time, many times, I will say, if it happens to get to me, I will say to them, well, look, would you be willing to work for it? I'll call somebody else. See, here's somebody, you say, oh, they're just no good. No, they just need to be restored, that's all. They just need to learn. They need to be taught. We need to reach them with the gospel, get them saved, and then teach them. Teach them. Good old-fashioned work, amen? Bible says if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. And so if they learn and they hear the Bible preached and they're taught, they can learn how to be productive citizens. They can learn how to work. They can learn how to provide for their families. That's Bible. That's the right thing. They can be restored. It's not talking about just give them all a handout. It says preach the gospel to them. Tell them the truth. And when they hear the gospel, their life can be changed. And they can then learn how to live the right way. Amen? Give them the gospel. Then they'll do something. Give them the gospel. They'll learn how to work. Amen? It's easier to reach poor people. Story after story. There's a story of the big supper that was everybody was invited to, and one fellow said, well, I need to go prove my oxen. And another fellow said, well, I got to go look at my ground. Go look at your ground, amen. And another one said, well, I've just been married. I can't go to your supper. So what'd they do? Well, they invited the halt, the maimed, the blind, the poor, and they all came. You know what? They will come. They don't have to remain poor. It's a time. It's the acceptable year of the Lord. And we're not only supposed to get people saved, we're supposed to help restore them. We're supposed to help teach them. We're supposed to help restore them to a life that they can live and please God and serve God. You know, it's so exciting. By the way, what happens when somebody quits drinking? They have more money. Amen. What happens when people quit smoking? They have more money. What happens when somebody gets off their drug habit? They have more money. What happens when they quit going to the movies? They have more money. And you would too. You could give it to missions. Instead of watching half-naked people and listening to a bunch of wicked, vile stuff. Amen. What happens when somebody quits gambling? They have more money. What happens when somebody works? They have more money. And eventually they're not poor anymore. Proverbs 22:2, the rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. And God says, part of the acceptable year, which we're in it. We're in that time. Part of it is getting people saved. Part of it is restoring them. Oh, I'll tell you, folks, there's nothing more exciting than to see someone whose life is a total wreck because they're poor, because they've wasted their money on whatever, or because they never had it and their life has just been a wreck. And watching God save them, number one, release them from the most important debt, amen, and then watching God work in their heart and seeing them become a productive citizen. Glory to God. You know, the government ought to give us money instead of taking it. We got this thing figured out. Preach the Bible to them, teach them the truth, and folks' lives will be changed. We wouldn't need health care if everybody just do what they're supposed to do. We wouldn't need government health care, I should say. We always need health care because we're fat. And anyway, preach to the poor. Number two, here's what he says, or capital B. He has not only sent me to anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. If ever there's a ministry of restoration, that's it. If there's ever a ministry that we have got to do, it is heal the brokenhearted. People who need hope, people who need comfort, people whose dreams have been ruined, people who have experienced the death of a loved one, people who have physical problems, those who only God can give strength to, people who are considering suicide, children. By the way, we're seeing more and more of this today than ever. Children who have been abused. Adults who were abused as a child. I'm going to tell you, there is a ministry of restoration there. Jesus said, this is the day. Hey, is it a miracle for someone to get saved? Oh, you better believe it is. It's the greatest miracle that ever takes place. I submit to you, it's also a miracle for someone to be restored. I'm talking about people who are thinking about killing themselves. I'm talking about young teenagers that take a razor blade and cut themselves. And they're sitting here tonight. There are those here that do that. There are adults that do that. Nobody knows it because you always keep it covered, but you do that. Hey, there is a ministry of restoration. God does not want you to live that kind of a life. God wants to restore you, and this is the acceptable year. He is a miracle-working God. If you'll let Him, He'll get you out of that mess. People that talk suicide. Children that have been sexually abused. Unbelievable. In our day. By a relative. Happens all the time. I counsel about it many, many times. Wives who are beaten. I never have understood. Sir, you are the biggest sissy in the world. Any man that would beat a child or a woman and abuse them, you're a wimp. You have a backbone like a jellyfish. You remind me of a milksop Oreo cookie that's stuck in the milk for 2 hours. Amen. I don't understand it. Well, she's supposed to submit. Not because of your club, idiot. And if you would love her, she would submit to you. Oh. But I'm just saying there's people that need to be restored. People whose spouse deserted them, left them with nothing. Happens all the time. Children who have been deserted by parents. broken hearts. Jesus said, He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. You know, we need to reach out to brokenhearted people. I was driving through the parking lot right after, church today, and my wife and I were going through the parking lot. A young man was there, and somebody we've been talking to a lot lives here in the neighborhood, and just said, "Hey, how's it going?" He said, "Terrible." So 5 minutes, you know, just spent a little time trying to help him, and his life is such a mess. Brokenhearted. That's the same guy that says, "My wife and I are the best people on the block." He's smart. These little bus kids, you don't know what they come from. I every now and then somebody will say, "Well, you know, the bus kids made a mess out of this." You know, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go visit their home. They don't understand this furniture. They don't understand God's furniture. Their furniture is a mess. In many cases, not all cases, but in many cases. You say, "Well, don't run, this is the church." Well, I know that, but in their house, they're always running. You ever thought to ask them why? But see, not only can we tell them how to be saved, do you understand? They don't have to live a life like that. Yes, that's the most exciting thing to me. We'll have teenagers, and we have quite a few here tonight. But we'll have teenagers Sunday morning, Wednesday night. We'll have a lot of teenagers, a lot of young people. And in my mind, I'm always thinking, you know what? You don't have to live a life like that. You don't have to consider suicide. You don't have to wonder what it's like for somebody to love you. Hey, you can come to an old-fashioned church where people love you. That's the way it should be. That's part of the restoration. You'd be amazed how many young people do not trust anybody. Because they've been hurt so many times, hurt. How many kids have watched a divorce take place and their heart's been ripped out? And come on, folks. You know, well, they ought to be stronger than that. No, they shouldn't. They just need restored. It's the year of Jubilee was a time of restoration. Hey, we're going to put everything back in its place. All the debts are forgiven. The slaves are let free. And we're going to put everything back in its proper place. And in my mind, I think of all the brokenhearted people, and it says, heal the brokenhearted. How are we going to do it, preacher? We're going to put our arm around and just say, "Look, I care about you." And we really are going to care. We're not faking anybody out. We're not trying to put on a show. We really do care. Because there's brokenhearted people all around. There's brokenhearted people sitting right here in our church. And by the way, if you'd quit trying to figure out why, and just say, "You know what, I love you. I'll pray for you." You know, you see somebody crying, well, you know, is something wrong? "No, I sliced onions all afternoon and I just can't get over it." Instead of trying to figure out why, how about just, "You know what, I'm going to pray for you." How about a little yellow card that says, "I noticed you were having a tough time"? You'd be shocked how many of those little yellow cards I've got that said, "Preacher, I noticed you were having a tough time. I thought I couldn't fake you out, huh? I'm praying for you." I keep them all. I told my wife the other day, I said, "How am I going to keep all this stuff?" And she said, "I don't know, but you will." Every now and then I dig it all out and I look at it. There's somebody. I don't even remember some of the names. But you know, brokenhearted people can be restored. And we're going to see more and more people whose hearts are absolutely broken. Jesus said, "Heal the brokenhearted." Capital C, to preach deliverance to the captives. Thank God for our Reformers Unanimous ministry. Deliver the captives. Captives. Look at Psalm 107, verse 10. Psalms 107, verse 10. Well, let's start at verse 9. It's good. "For he satisfieth a longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God, and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, there was none to help. And where was Berean Baptist Church? Preacher, you know, drug addicts and Satan worshipers and perish the thought, prisoners in jail. And I mean, the offscouring of the world. And they need restored. And it's the acceptable year of the Lord. Isn't that what Jesus said? This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears? This day. He said, I am the fulfillment. And you know what? If you can be saved, they can be restored. Because it's a time of release and it's a time of restoration. Sinful habits are like chains. And God wants people to be free. Free from drugs. Free from all kinds of sexual perversions. Free from alcohol. Free from smoking. Free from pornography. Oh, more and more, folks. More and more. People are captive. They are bound. And Jesus said that on this day, this is the year of Jubilee. He said they can be restored. They can be restored to a normal life. I've counseled with people who say, I cannot get the images out of my mind. I've counseled with people who say, I cannot quit drinking alcohol. I've talked to people who say, I cannot go without this certain drug. And yet my Bible says this is a time of restoration. If you ever were to talk to someone who is possessed by a demon, you would never want to do it again. You would never want to see someone who is so bound by the power of darkness. And yet I wonder how many times I'm standing before people who are just as bound right here in this church. Oh yeah, but this is the time of restoration. So many of you are curious about that world and so curious about what it'd be like to smoke and so curious about what it'd be like to drink that beer that everybody talks about. And you're curious about that pornography that's on that internet site. And you're curious about some drug that is supposed to make you happy and sniffing some substance that's going to get you high. And you're curious about it. And I can tell you of all the lives that have been totally wrecked and ruined because of those very things that you're curious about. I can tell you of the lives that have been ruined by the music that you're curious about and that you like. And that, by the way, it only makes sense we'd like it because we are carnal, we are flesh. But our spirit doesn't like it. And your spirit doesn't like it either. But you can be restored because God restored me. God restored a long-haired hippie, a drummer in a rock group, and God put him into a normal life. Oh, the old songs still pull at me. The old songs are still there. The old beat, it's all still there. But I got news for you. God's given me victory. You say, well, preacher, you make it sound like it's an addiction. It is. It is an addiction. Your rap is an addiction. It's an addiction, and that's why cuss words roll across your mind instead of the precious scripture that you should have memorized when you were a child in elementary school. You say, I did memorize it. Why didn't that come to the tip of your tongue instead of all those other words? It's because you've been listening to too much junk. And it's now part of you. But this is the time. This is the acceptable year. It's a year of restoration. And your mind can't even think a pure thought, even while the preacher preaches. But you see, he said we're going to preach to deliver the captives. There is deliverance. There is deliverance. And whether you're hooked on drugs or whether you're hooked on pornography or what it is, there is deliverance. And you better believe that. And Berean Baptist Church, we need to know there's a whole lot of people around that. You say, they're acting awful weird. Yeah, they may need to be delivered. But there is a deliverance. There is restoration. Number four, he says this. He says, not only is the Spirit of the Lord upon me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, and to preach deliverance to the captives, but also recovering of sight to the blind. Oh, there's so many blind folks. So many blind folks. People today are blinded by religion. Talked about it this morning. Works salvation is out of hell. Works salvation has sent more people to hell than alcohol. Religion, philosophy, humanism, cults, Islam. People are blind. They're blind. Blind because of many things. Blind because we're not reaching them with the truth. Because the truth shall set you free. Blind because of language barriers. That's why we have a Spanish ministry. Blind because of language barriers. That's why we have a deaf ministry. Amen. Blind. Their eyes need to be open. Don't you see it? Don't you see people that they just have that look like they just don't get it? They're blind. They're blind. I was blind. My wife and I walked in a Baptist church as a young married couple. I was a long-haired hippie. She was a mini-skirt-wearing hippie girl. And we walk in this church, and I mean, we didn't have a clue. I had no idea what that guy was preaching about. I just knew he somehow had talked to my wife. Because he hit everything I was doing. And everything I thought was fun, he said was sinful. Everything I thought was groovy, he said it had a lot of grooves. Bad ones. I didn't get it. I remember after one service, I remember the preacher had preached about long-haired guys. And I was talking to one of the assistant pastors. I said, well, I said, you know, I know he's probably talking about real long hair. Mine was over on my shoulders. I said, I'm sure he was talking. And he said, and I said, because we all know Jesus had long hair. And this guy looked me right in the eyes. He said, no, he didn't. I said, well, of course he did. All the pictures, he said, I have a picture in my house where he has short hair. I said, really? As if I really believe somebody actually took a picture. But I didn't have a clue. I didn't know what it was to sacrifice. I didn't know what it was to surrender. I didn't know what it was to tithe. I didn't know what it was. I was blind. But isn't it wonderful that this is the acceptable year of the Lord, and not only can we be saved, but we can also be restored where we can see. And it's amazing to be able to see. It's amazing to be able to see that people are going to hell around us. It's amazing to be able to see that God has not only life, but abundant life. So many of you don't get it. A walk with God? Oh, Brother Bennett back there, I get a kick out of him. I preached on abiding in Christ, and every now and then he'll say to me, you still abiding? Still abiding? That's good stuff. Huh? Hey, how about you? Have you ever been abiding with Jesus? Where you just talk to him? I don't know how many times last night I just woke up and spoke to him and we talked. But you see, so many are blind. We think this is it. Church? Church isn't it. Walk with God, that's it. Relationship with God. But so many are blind. And you know, it's a time of restoration. People need to see the truth. And this is the day. And then the last thing here under this, time of restoration. He said this, he said, to set at liberty them that are bruised. What's that mean, to set at liberty them that are bruised? It means to make it so that they can be usable again. Okay, they have a bruise, they have a scar. Okay, they have a scar from sin. They have a bruise from skin, from sin. They have something in their life that has kept them away. And you know what's so good? God can still use you. That is awesome. Restoration. Oh, you don't understand what I've done. Doesn't matter. Well, you don't understand where I've been. Doesn't matter. To be able to be used, restored to use. Yeah, but preacher, I've been way down in the mud. Aren't you glad that Jesus can clean you up? Did you ever murder anybody? Moses did. Were you ever a harlot? Rahab was. Had a lady call today, 23 years ago, for 23 years, this lady has called my wife and I faithfully 23 years and said, well, today's my birthday. 23 years ago, she just called today, 23 years ago, you led me to Christ. She was a prostitute, drug addict, when she came into our home and we led her to the Lord in our living room 23 years ago. Today she's serving God. Right now, no doubt she is in church with her family serving the Lord. Are you listening to me? Huh? Abraham, he lied. Samson was a whoremonger. God used him. David was an adulterer and a murderer. God called him a man after his own heart. Mary Magdalene, the Samaritan woman, Peter, Matthew, Paul, me. God can use you. God can use anyone. Everyone can be salvaged, no matter how many bruises, no matter how many scars. But you know, as a church, we need to help those that are bruised instead of looking down at them. I've often wondered, and I've preached on this many times, how people felt the first time Paul walked into their service. You try to imagine that. What about where Stephen's parents went to church? How'd they look at him? Boy, God used him in a pretty good way, didn't he? Sure he did. And we need to reach these people. And we need to help restore these people. It's the acceptable year of the Lord. It's Jubilee time. It's a time of restoration. Time of release, number one, salvation. A time of restoration, number two. And then the last thing, number three, it's a time of rejoicing. Jubilee. What did I say? I said the debts are forgiven. Brother, when you guys had a special service for your mortgage payment, and did you burn the mortgage or something like that? Yeah. Did anybody smile? Did they? They weren't all sad, crying and weeping and being real solemn and saying amen. Yeah. See, to me, Jubilee. Jubilee. You can't even say Jubilee and not be excited about it a little bit. Well, some of you could. Jubilee. It's hard, isn't it? What are you going to do when you get to heaven? Jubilee! People getting saved! Jubilee! People's lives being restored! Jubilee! Debts paid! Remember we had our mortgage burning about 7 years ago? A couple of you even smiled. Yeah. Hey, Jubilee! It's a time of rejoicing. I don't know about you, but every time somebody gets saved, the Bible says the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that repenteth. You just think about that. Can you imagine that? All those angels. It's almost like we ought to be able to feel the air off the wings. Because I don't think you could rejoice without flapping your wings a little bit if you're an angel. And people being restored. Have you ever seen it? You ever seen the gospel preached to the poor and then watched them? Watched them get a job. Watched them quit the bad habits that cost them so much money. Watched them grow in the Lord, get a job, buy their first car. Watched them. Boy, that's fun. Huh? Hey, you ever see the brokenhearted when God gets hold of them and God helps them and God heals them of that broken heart? You ever see that? There's something about that. It's God's comfort, God's grace. God puts His arms around them. God takes care of them. And all of a sudden, those who are talking suicide are now talking, wow, it's great to be free and to be saved. I don't know. I've watched God deliver an awful lot of captives. He's still in the captive delivering business. Amen. I've seen Him deliver a lot of captives. Oh, let me tell you something. It's good stuff. And I've seen Him make a lot of blind people see. And I've watched Him take the bruised, the scarred, and I've seen Him use them in great, great ways. In fact, that's all He's got to use. You sit here tonight, you say, well, I don't know if there's anything for me. Oh, yeah, there's definitely something for you. It's the acceptable year of the Lord. It's a time of jubilee, time to rejoice. You know, the reason that you're not rejoicing is you're missing out. When is the last time you told someone how to be saved? When is the last time you went up to some poor person and said, hey, Jesus wants to save you? Or you went up to some crackhead and said, hey, listen, Jesus loves you. Oh, man, I don't know. That's all right. Listen, I know you can't understand, but I want you to know something. We care about you too there at Berean Baptist Church. When's the last time you walked up to some punk? You know, he's out here cussing and swearing, and you walked up and took off your righteousness, you know, and your piety, and you walked up and you said, hey, listen to me. Hey, we got a church over here. We'd like you to come to our church. Preacher, they might steal from the coat rack. Well, if you're dumb enough to leave stuff in your coat, hello? Now somebody's going to be offended. I feel that. It's a time of restoration. I don't. We have a bus ministry. I tell our mission. I tell people, they put a table out here. I say, now we have a bus ministry. They go, oh. They know what that means. I know what that means. If I have, for example, if I had a Rolex watch, which I don't, but if I did have a Rolex watch, I would not put that in my coat and hang it on the coat rack out in the hallway. Well, it ought to be safe in our church. Not if our church is what it ought to be. It's kind of like you go to the hospital, and to be honest with you, you go to the hospital and you say, I want to be in a safe environment. Don't go to a hospital. Everybody there's sick. Well, it only makes sense that a few folks come here are going to be sick. We're the healing place, amen? So just watch it. Be careful. Watch over your stuff. Think. I'm always amazed. Oh, they stole $20 out of my pocket. Where was your pocket? Was it attached to you? No, it was hanging somewhere. Well, that, why would you leave $20 in a pocket hanging somewhere where you can't watch it? You're putting the blame on us. I'm just trying to help you. Love these people. That's going to make you mad, see? It's going to make you upset. And what would be better is you to love these people. Because we can help them. We can reach them. We can help them. Because this is the acceptable year of the Lord. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around.